It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
And that's how the budget was passed. So the budget of Virginia does not contain any funding to fill judicial vacancies, except those mandated. That's the appellate court vacancies. The trial courts and the district courts across the Commonwealth were denied any funds to fill their vacancies.
Private attorney Irv Blank, president of the Virginia State Bar, talks about the looming and alarming judicial vacancy crisis in Virginia and why it might get worse before it gets better. And you'll learn about a key piece of factual information you need to know in a child custody case during this week's question and answer session. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 101, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. This month marked the third straight Labor Day that the country has been mired in an unemployment crisis, but the news was not as bleak as expected. The private sector added 67,000 jobs during the month of August. While the country still was losing jobs a year ago, it has added jobs to the payroll for the past 8 months. But for the typical worker, this is not cause to celebrate. The August 2010 unemployment rate of 9.6% is barely changed from the 9.7% rate this time 1 year ago, and it actually rose from the 9.5% rate in July, because the U.S. needs to create about 100,000 new jobs each month just to keep up with population growth. Persistently high unemployment and slow wage growth stand in contrast to other segments of the economy, such as corporate profits. Over the summer, Lawrence Michel, president of the Economic Policy Institute, compared the change in corporate profits since the start of the recession to the change in the labor market. He found that corporate profits had fully recovered while the labor market remained weak. By the first quarter of 2010, corporate profits were 5.7% higher than the final quarter of 2007, but the total number of jobs had declined by 5.9% over the same period. In other news, bed bugs continue to plague both tenants and homeowners alike as these pests make a comeback in Virginia and elsewhere. The resurgence is attributed to increased travel, an overall lack of awareness, and the stigma surrounding these hard-to-eliminate parasites, according to Dr. Deanie Miller, an associate professor in urban pest management at Virginia Tech. She says the bloodsuckers can be found in all kinds of places, from hotel rooms and college dorms to apartment buildings. Now that they're back, she says, the best form of prevention is awareness. Miller also says it's important not to go after bed bugs with chemical insecticides on your own without calling a professional. The Environmental Protection Agency has expressed concerns over exposing children to such chemicals. But Professor Miller says there are some non-chemical alternatives like food-grade diatomaceous earth. Put it out in a light dusting around the baseboards and edges of the carpet. You can even put this on a mattress and on the box springs. It's a very benign material, but it sticks to the bed bugs, absorbs the wax layer on the outside of their body, and basically dries them out. Miller cautions that it's important to use only the food-grade material, not the kind used for pool filters, which can be dangerous. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
It's time for the answer to our weekly quiz called, Is That Legal? Last week, we gave you a legal question and three possible answers, one of which was incorrect. Here's last week's question. Which two types of family law cases can be handled only in circuit court and not in juvenile and domestic relations court? A. Spousal support. B. Division of marital property. Or C. Divorce. The correct answers are B. Division of marital property and C. Divorce. Spousal support or alimony may be handled in either juvenile and domestic relations court or circuit court, just like child support and child custody. Later in the show, we'll give you this week's quiz. Is that legal? For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault.
It's time for this week's question and answer. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
Takina from Richmond, Virginia.
Welcome to the show, Takina. What question do we have this week?
All right, my question is this. I have a son, and the father has custody of him, but I'm not really sure why the judge granted him that custody a long time ago. But to make a long story short, my mother has visitation rights, and my son is now missing. We don't know where they moved to. They changed their numbers. I've been posting information on Facebook weekly about it. But my question is, how can I get the courts or anybody for that matter to help me with this situation as far as looking for him and to regaining custody?
Well, that's a really good question, and I don't have a great answer for you because if the circumstances have changed, and clearly they have, you can file a motion with the court that issued the last order, and that would be a motion to amend or review the prior order. And if you've got some important, what they call a material change in circumstances since the last custody order, the court will hear you and will decide whether that's important enough to warrant a change in custody. The problem, as you are no doubt discovering, is that in order to file and have that motion to amend or review heard, you have to notify the opposing party. And the court, unfortunately, is not a people locator service, and they really don't go about locating people. Now, it sounds like you've tried the usual internet searches and possibly contacting known friends, neighbors, relatives of the opposing party to see if they know the person's whereabouts or whether they know of anybody else who might know that person's whereabouts. And it sounds like you've kind of hit a blank wall. All I can really suggest is that there are people locator services, private investigators even, who are able to track down people. There also are internet services that you can pay for that are extremely good at locating people. It's very hard to stay totally anonymous these days unless you're totally in the underground economy and have no contact with government at all. So that's really the best way to proceed. Once he's finally located, then you promptly file your motion to amend or review and get him properly served with the papers properly legally delivered. Now, one of the things that is required in almost every custody order in Virginia, is a provision in the order that if one party, whether it's the party with custody or the party without custody, decides to move, they have to give the court and the opposing party at least 30 days' notice of their intent to move. If he violated that, the judge is not going to be happy, and that could be enough to get custody changed to you or at least greatly expand your visitation. But again, you've got to get over that first hurdle of locating him, and I think the court's probably done about as much as it can.
All right, well, thank you. I appreciate your answer, sir.
You're welcome. Best of luck. We're here at the law office of Paris Blank in the near west end of Richmond, and we're talking with Irv Blank, who is a private attorney there and also the current president of the Virginia State Bar, and we're going to be talking about the Virginia judge shortage. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
To give our listeners a little bit of background, would you tell us first, generally, how are judges chosen in Virginia? What is the process by which someone becomes a judge?
Well, Virginia's judges are chosen by the legislature. If there's a vacancy while the legislature is not in session, then the governor will appoint the circuit court judge who serves until the legislature comes back into session, and then they have to approve the appointment. The general district court is a little different. The judges are selected by the legislature if they're in session. If they're not in session, the general district court judgeships or vacancies are filled by the circuit court judges. And then those judgeships, those appointments, have to be approved by the legislature when it comes back into session.
Now, you mentioned the concept of circuit courts and district courts, and the state, I gather, is divided up into about 33 judicial circuits and judicial districts. And there are varying numbers of circuit court judges in each circuit, varying numbers of district court and juvenile and domestic relations court judges in each district. How is that number determined?
Well, it's ultimately determined by the General Assembly, but historically, the Supreme Court acts as the highest level of the highest tier of the judiciary in Virginia, and the Supreme Court has an office of the Executive Secretary, and that office sort of is the administrative arm of the judicial branch of government. So historically, that office has certified the need for judges. The Supreme Court will certify a vacancy, and then the legislature will determine whether or not to fill it. And if it's to be filled, they will fill it.
Now, I've been in practice in Virginia for almost 30 years. I know you have a few years on me, but it seems to me that the growth in population and the growth in the caseload over the past, say, 30 years has vastly exceeded the number of additional judges that have been certified and the positions actually filled. Would you agree with that observation? And if so, how do we account for this?
Well, I don't think there's any question that the population has vastly outpaced the appointment of judges, but the legislature and indeed the Supreme Court as well have determined that the need for additional judges was or was not there, not necessarily just based on the population. It's really not based on population. It's based on the caseload. I think up until this last session of General Assembly, I think we've done pretty well by our judges, with some few exceptions.
So you said up until this past session of the General Assembly. Apparently there's been a problem with the last General Assembly and judicial vacancies not getting filled. What's the story there?
Well, what happened in a nutshell is we have a significant shortage of money in the Commonwealth. In the closing days of the session, the House, the majority party of the House, published its budget, and in its budget, or its budget proposal, and in that proposal, it called for a cessation of filling, not filling any judicial vacancies until the year 2012, and then taking a look at it. And that's how the budget was passed. So the budget of Virginia does not contain any funding to fill judicial vacancies, except those mandated. That's the appellate court vacancies. The trial courts and the district courts across the Commonwealth were denied any funds to fill their vacancies. At the time the budget passed, there were 19 vacancies. Virginia has another rule which is questioned by many, including me, and that is judges have mandatory retirement at 70 years of age. So if you take the mandatory retirement, this is no consideration to death, sickness, or just saying I've had enough, just mandatory retirement alone, and add those judges that will have to retire before 2012, we will have over 50 vacancies in the state. And that is, in my view, just unconscionable. And I could give you some anecdotal circumstances of certain circuits where this is just going to be catastrophic to the people in those circuits.
Well, and please do. I think those anecdotes would be very interesting.
Well, I'll give you the one that comes closest to mine. It's a law school classmate of mine, Judge Glenn Tyler in Accomack, is the judge on the Eastern Shore. On the Eastern Shore are two counties. Judge Tyler is a judge of both of those counties. The Eastern Shore's judicial circuit includes Virginia Beach. Judge Tyler is going to have to retire in January. He'll be 70 years old. The Eastern Shore will not have a judge. So that's going to fall to the Circuit Court of Virginia Beach to administer that those two courts over there. And ironically, the Circuit Court of Virginia Beach already has two vacancies, so they will now be not only two judges short in the Circuit Court of Virginia Beach, which is an enormous populated area and an area that probably needs an additional judge of its own. One of those judges is going to have to drive the Bay Bridge Tunnel over to the Eastern Shore and take care of that circuit. It's going to be a monumental task, and it's also complicated by the fact that the Code of Virginia grants to the circuit court judge, the resident circuit court judge in Accomack, that means the judge who lives on the Eastern Shore, the power of appointment to all kind of boards and positions in both of those counties. And in January, Judge Tyler will no longer be the judge, and that power will not reside in the Virginia Beach Circuit Court judges who are going over there. So as a practical matter, a lot of government on the Eastern Shore could end with Judge Tyler's retirement. And I don't think the General Assembly ever thought about this. I hope they didn't, because it's going to be a real serious problem come January.
Well, what's the situation locally? City of Richmond, Anrico County, Chesterfield County. How bad's it going to get?
Well, here's what will happen. In the City of Richmond, the General District Courts are now one short. Judge Tom Jones from the Traffic Court, this is District Courts, has mandatory retirement, and he's no longer sitting, although he's sitting as a substitute some, I think, one day a week. Those five remaining judges have just added to their workload, and they are going to get through this, I think, with some inconvenience to them, with some addition to their workload. The circuit court lost Judge Marco, mandatory retirement. He's been sitting, and that money is probably the money that pays him, which is a measly sum, is going to run out. So he's unless he wants to work for free, he's not going to be able to continue to do this. So the circuit court of the City of Richmond is going to have a problem. They've got, you know, it's more than one judge up there, and they're going to work their way through this. Henrico County is in fairly good shape, except both judge in the circuit court, both Judge Miller and Judge Balfour will reach mandatory retirement before 2012. So that court will be very short, and here's another problem that we hope is not long term, but one of the circuit court judges in Enrico has a health problem, and he's not working right now while he recuperates.
So we could go from 5 to 2?
We could go from 5 to 2. I certainly hope that the judge who's had the heart attack will be back, but it is a life event that occurs certainly across the Commonwealth that the General Assembly apparently didn't give a moment's thought to. The Henrico Juvenile Court is short a judge. One of their judges was not reappointed, and, of course, that position wasn't filled. Chesterfield's in pretty good shape. They got a new juvenile court judge before the General Assembly actually appointed a judge in Chesterfield in the early part of the session before they decided not to fill any vacancies. So that vacancy was filled, and he's in, thank goodness. So Hanover, their juvenile court judge faced mandatory retirement, and he had an enormous docket. Hanover's an exploding population out there, and they didn't fill that judgeship. So now you've got a judge from Fredericksburg basically coming down. not in Richmond, but closer, one of the real horror stories is Powhatan, Amelia Dinwiddie, the juvenile court judge over there, Judge Valentine Southall, who already had an almost impossible job, got Petersburg laid on top of him because the Petersburg JDR judge retired and they didn't fill that position. And that's going to be just almost physically impossible without a lot of help from retired and substitute judges.
And how is this affecting litigants?
Well, it's almost self-evident. People who need emergency protective orders, domestic violence cases, they can't get a judge. They can't get the protective orders because there's no available judge. People who've been in accidents, who have financial devastation, can't get a trial date anytime soon because the judgeships have been, you know, the not available dates. And it's not just people who need to get trial dates for personal injury cases, not just people with domestic violence. It's going to affect the people who don't think it's going to affect them. Major businesses that need temporary restraining orders, a big corporation, let's say, for instance, Tyson's Chicken Company, the biggest employer or one of the biggest employers on the Eastern Shore. Let's say somebody's doing something that's damaging their business and they need an emergency injunction hearing. There's not going to be a judge on the Eastern Shore. They're not going to be able to get it. In addition to that, society's going to be affected. Criminal cases, which take a priority by the Constitution, demands or requires that they give a priority on the docket. They're not going to be enough judges to hear these cases promptly. And those that hear them are going to have to work much longer hours, and cases are going to be heard late in the afternoon by a judge who is still a human being, is still going to be tired, is still going to be worn down by what he's had to do during the day. And regulatory agencies are not going to be able to get into court to enforce the health rules of the state or the safety rules of the state. I mean, it is going to affect everybody in Virginia.
And given this impending crisis, what do you think is the likelihood that the General Assembly will do something in the next session?
That's hard to say. I don't come to this issue, obviously, from an unbiased position. So it was borderline unbelievable to me that they did what they did, and I simply cannot believe that they will continue it through the next session. This refusal to fund the filling of judicial vacancies was done with almost no thought. I don't think anybody, I can't imagine anybody in the General Assembly really thought about the Eastern Shore or the juvenile court in Judge Southall's district or the impending forced resignation of judges across the Commonwealth. I mean, they knew there were 19 vacancies because they'd actually interviewed people and had already approved the people to fill all these vacancies, most of these vacancies, 17 or 18 of them. I would hope that the General Assembly would look at this, and I would hope that constituents would call their delegates and say, what's going on here? I want to have the protection of the judicial system of Virginia. It is an equal branch of government, and it is frankly outrageous that it is being treated this way.
And on that note, we will end. We have been speaking with Irv Blank. He is a private attorney with Paris Blank in the near west end of Henrico County and also the current president of the Virginia State Bar. Thank you so much, Irv.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
It's time for our weekly quiz called, Is That Legal? We give you a legal question and three possible answers, one of which is incorrect, and we give the correct answers next week. If you're the first to email the two correct answers, we'll post your name on our show's website and send you a free copy of the Virginia State Bar's Handbook on Your Legal Rights and Responsibilities. Here's this week's question. Which two things are landlords prohibited from doing? A, charging more than 2 months' rent as a security deposit. B, charging attorney's fee even if the landlord loses. Or C, charging 10% late fees even if the rent is only 1 day late. If you know the two correct answers, email them by Friday to marty@cvlas.org and be next week's winner. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on this show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is now available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This year, the Legal Services Corporation marked its 36th anniversary as an independent agency providing federal funding for legal aid societies. Join us next week as John Whitfield, Executive Director of Blue Ridge Legal Services in Harrisonburg, Virginia, answers the fundamental question, why legal aid, in a rebroadcast of a show originally heard on June 3, 2009. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright. Oh.